everybody. How many of you are excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning? I'm very excited to be here, and I'm excited for what God has in store for the service. How many of you are excited for heaven? I know I'm excited. There will be no more tears. There will be no more sorrow, no more pain. We'll be able to live in freedom forevermore. But it's not just something that can happen then, but it's something that can happen right now in this moment. Whatever you need from God, He is able to meet you right where you are. You step out in faith and believe that He can do it, and He will. So as we sing about heaven this morning, you just lift up your hands, receive what He has for you in Jesus' name.
news this morning is you can leave different than the way you can come in. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about me. You don't have to leave the same way you came in this morning. Amen. If we could have our ushers come at this time, we just have a few quick announcements this morning. Parents of teens going to Rush, there is online registration that is open now. That is $15. And you can get with any youth team member if you have any questions. Also, November 5th, we have our breaking following service that is at the Archbold High School. And there will also be having a baby shower at that time for Michaela and Gage. And you must RSVP Sister Valerie or Sister Debbie. November 5th, the times are changing, so I believe we fall back an hour, so you get an extra hour of sleep, which we all need an extra hour of sleep, amen. And then November 12th, Bishop Ellis will be here preaching and ministering to us. And then in the back, we do have our new church cards here, and if you see on the one side, it will say our services, but it also says you can sit with me, so you can put your name on it. You can pass this out to a friend, somebody at the gas station, to try to get someone to come, and they'll also have a reference point to someone who they can sit with. So grab some cards. They are in the back before you leave. All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this service today. And we know that you can do mighty things, Lord God. We come with a great expectation today, Lord, that you will touch each and every one of us. Lord Jesus, we ask, Lord, that you touch Pastor Clutter and his family as they are traveling back this weekend, Lord Jesus. And we know you will do a mighty work in this place today. We just ask that you just bless the gift and the giver today. In Jesus' name, amen. And you can come and give unto the Lord. And if you are a guest here today, we welcome you.
one of that your prayer today, just lift your hand and say, God, I love you, Lord. I can put my trust in you, Lord. You're an almighty Savior, God. Whatever I need here today, I can find. If I need peace, these altars are here. I can come to you and I can find peace. I can find joy. I can find fullness of joy. Because everything that I need is in your presence. Oh, Lord, we trust in you today, God. We pray, Lord, that your presence would sweep over this congregation, God. You know what we need before we verbalize it, God. But we bring our needs to you.
is not my home, but I have an eternal destination that I can set my eyes toward. And I just want to say today, if you can't say the same, you don't have to leave here the same. Jesus is here, and you can experience that for yourself today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Worship with us as we sing about eternity.
Hebrews chapter 6, if you have your Bibles. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. And we know that this hope also reaches back into the Old Testament and refers to the hope that was found in the refuge cities in Numbers chapter 35, where people who have messed up could flee to in order to stay alive. And as long as they stayed in that city, they had protection. That was their only hope, to flee to a refuge city. And if they left that city before the priest had died, they were on their own. And I want to read that verse one more time in the Amplified Version. It says, this hope, this confident assurance we have as an anchor of the soul, it cannot slip. It cannot break down under whatever pressure bears upon it. A safe and steadfast hope that enters within the veil of the holy temple, that most holy place in which the very presence of God dwells. Amen, and you may be seated this morning. There is a season when everything begins to prepare for the upcoming winter. Kind of sounds familiar. Many who live in this region enjoy the cycles of the seasons. Some love spring. Some love summer, some love fall, and there's a couple that love winter. But of those four seasons, many do favor one over the other. And one in particular that many favor, we call fall. Some call it autumn, depending on where you live. And we know this season as the season of change. Amen. We know this season as the season of harvest, and for some it is the season of pumpkin spice everything. And as we prepare for the winter ahead, we get to see nature show its true colors, get to see a glimpse of it. As the seasons begin to change, the heater is on in the mornings and the AC is on in the afternoons. Can I get an amen? The fields begin to change and we see the trees also begin to change. The scenery for a few weeks gives us a glimpse of their true colors. Sweeney'sLandscaping.com wrote this amazing article. The mellow, ripened sunsets, the landscape ablaze, and its shimmering saffron glow, leaves here and there, had been kissed by the tones of umber, vermilion, scarlet, and plum. Their verdant greens of summer and spring give way to the deep, varied, rich tones of autumn's palette. And this is a sign that the show is about to start. As the trees prepare for winter, it's important they employ protective measures in order to survive winter's wrath, because the deciduous foliage in particular is vulnerable and the cells within would ultimately freeze in the frigid temperatures. The trees must seal off and shed its leaves to ensure its survival. But how does it know? And why does the foliage change colors in the process? Cooler temperatures and shorter days, less sunlight provide the catalyst for leaves to stop producing chlorophyll, the classic green pigment. As less chlorophyll is being produced, the leaves' other pigments began to leach through. These other pigments like yellow, orange, green, red, and purple are present in the leaf at all times. Keratin and xanthophyll, I took a stab at that, it's kind of like the begots. Xanthophyll are present in the foliage all year and produce a yellow pigment. Other trees also produce an anthocyanins, which also gives the foliage its red and purple pigments that mask the keratin and the xanthophyll's yellow pigments. Sunny days and cooler nights fuel the pigment's intensity because of the sugar content and the foliage increase. That's why you may see brighter colored red, purple, and orange leaves on the outside of a tree and more yellow-toned leaves towards the inside. It's almost as if the tree's true colors are finally able to shine and take center stage. As we witness this miracle of fall, it is safe to say we are finally seeing nature's true colors as the trees go into survival mode, conserving energy for the cold, dark winter ahead. Are they finally able to reveal themselves and flaunt their individuality? End quote. And I find this interesting, the fact that the leaves don't necessarily change color, but instead they stop producing the components needed that gives the leaves their green pigment or color. Does that make sense? When the chlorophyll stops being produced by the sun, then and only then does the leaves begin to show their true colors. The true color of that leaf begins to leach through. And I am not trying to be scientifically correct this morning, so excuse me, but I do know that if I stay away from the light, if I distance myself from the light, it is just a matter of time until my true colors began to show. Amen. It doesn't matter how great or how strong we think we are. If we stay away from the light, it is just a matter of time until our flesh will start internalizing things to satisfy our five senses. It's just a matter of time until we start losing kingdom principles. I tell us this morning, it is better to feel the heat under a magnifying glass with the sunlight shining through it, revealing some things to us, than it is to feel the heat from a fire that was not purposed for us. It is better to have God reveal some things now than it is to deal with it for an eternity. Amen. And I may make it plain this morning, so excuse me, but I have to keep this flesh in check. This flesh that we deal with every single day, it is a constant war. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other and keep you from doing the things that you want to." Me simply saying it is not going to change it. Amen. Me talking about changing all the time is not going to change my situation. It may help, but it's not going to change it. We have to allow God to apply His word, and I have to go after it. Amen. Amen. And I may go against the grain here for just a little bit, but many times being spiritual, hear me today. Many times being spiritual is allowing God to reveal or correct something in my life or in my heart. I know we like to lay hands and I know we like to do all that, but Many times being spiritual is allowing God to show you some things and giving room for change to take place. Being spiritual many times is saying to our true nature, no, and giving God room to do what only He can do. And I know that we want something new in 2023. We always looking for something new, and for some of us, we've heard it all. But if we are going to see greater things in God, there are going to be greater battles with flesh. I'll say that again. If we are going to see greater things in God, there are going to be greater battles in flesh. And I speak this with all sincerity this morning. We can not allow ourselves to stay away from the light and expect God to show up in our lives. The sign of someone showing their true colors. Amen. You ever seen somebody's true colors? Praise God. It is a fair description that they are missing the right components in their life. There is a battle at hand between our flesh and our spirit. There is a battle. Sometimes it feels like we have some more growing to do. Amen. Time we turn around, it's something else that I have to work on or I have to get rid of. Sometimes it feels like we've been playing hide and seek with God our whole life. I was never good at hide and seek. The only thing that was big enough to hide behind for me was a propane tank. And those are few and far in between when you live in town. But sometimes it feels like we've been playing hide and seek with God our whole life. For some, life has been about how well we hide things, amen? Or how good we think we hide them. That's not a knock at anyone. We've all done it. We've learned to act as if everything's okay. We've put on our best and we try to impress. It's our nature. It's what we've learned. But the reality is that we cannot hide anything from God. We know that what is done in the darkness will come to light. The Bible even says in Psalms 139, 9 through 12, if I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle by the farthest sea, even there your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light will become dark around me, even the darkness is not too dark for you. Aren't you thankful that no matter what situation we find ourselves in, it is never too dark for our Savior? It is never too bad for our Jesus. Now I understand that we are not part of some kind of production line. That's not what we're about. We're not about programming robots, amen? That's not our purpose. That's not the purpose of the church. You see, the church is more than that. The church deals with the heart. Look to your neighbor and says, the church deals with the heart. While everything in the world tells us to listen to our heart and go with what you feel, the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 17, 9 through 10, it says the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to his fruit of his doings. The Bible says that he tries the reins. He tries to direct us. The Bible says that he searches our hearts. Can I say this morning that there's something powerful that happens in our life when we give the reins and the control over our life back to God. There is something powerful when we get some things out of our grip and we give it to Jesus. Our prayer should be, Lord, search my intentions. Search my motives. Shine a light into my heart. Shine the darkness that I tried to hide. Look at the direction that my heart is set in and guide me, oh Lord. We need to get the right components in our life. I want God to do inventory in my life. I want God to do inventory in my life. Amen. We have all heard this simple statement, so bear with me for a moment. Many of us have probably said it, and I know a lot of us have heard it, but the statement is, if you're going to say it, you better do it. Amen. Has anyone ever heard that before or said that? Felicia hasn't. I just heard no, sorry. It is a common statement that we say. Some have heard this very thing. If you're going to say you're going to pick up the kids at 3, you better be there at 3. Some have heard, if you're going to say you're sorry, you better show that you're sorry. Tell somebody beside you, if you say it, you better do it. And I find this statement simple, but at the same time, it shows the very nature of our being. Simple, but true. And even in the Bible, this simple characteristic shows up. Bible, this trait of saying one thing and doing another thing is recorded in the Bible. Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5 sold a piece of their property. Many of us know this story. But this couple said that the money that they received from their property would go towards helping the work of the Lord. Sounds like a pretty solid claim, right? But Ananias, with his wife's knowledge, kept back a piece of the proceeds for themselves. They said and announced that they were doing one thing, but they would end up doing something else. Ananias and Sapphira withheld part of what they sold. They plotted together to withhold something for themselves. And not only did they not do what they said, but to top it off, they lied about it. Amen. And here's the thing that doesn't really make sense. The land was theirs to do with whatever they wanted to do in the first place. They didn't have to sell it. They didn't have to announce it to everyone that they were doing this great thing. And the problem with this was that Ananias and his wife, they pretended to do all of this in the name of blessing. Anybody ever know anybody like that? Yeah. Kind of, God bless me with this, and come to find out they took a loan out for it and they're late on their payments. But they want people to think that they were blessed. Kind of childish, but I could see it happening. They wanted everyone to view them a certain way. They wanted to seem like they bought into the church. Peter didn't need them to go out and proclaim that they were doing this great thing. And I know that there's many different reasons and there's many different aspects we can bring up. And I'm sure that this started out very innocent to start off with. But here is where the problem lies. Peter didn't call them out because he wanted what they had. Peter didn't confront them because he needed it. But we find in Scripture that there was a heart problem. There was a heart problem. There was something that was down in their heart. There were roots of something that should have never been there. And in Acts chapter 5, verse 3, it says, "But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land?" Later he would say, "Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? Why is it that you have created this deed in your heart?" Ananias and Sapphira both pretended to do one thing. But in their heart, they did another thing. And can I say, bear with me for a minute, but can I say, it is easy to sound submitted, but what's in the heart? It is easy to sing or speak in a microphone, but what's in the heart? It's easy to seem faithful, but what's in the heart? And I know that this may be heavy this morning, but if we want to see greater things in God, we are going to have greater battles with flesh. Come on, somebody. If we are going to see greater things in God, we are going to have greater battles with this flesh. I want to remind us this morning that when we make it to heaven, when we finally make it, it is not going to matter how many self-help podcasts we have listened to. It's not going to matter how many followers we have on social media. But the thing that is going to matter and the thing that is going to keep us is how faithful we are. How faithful we are. We may never own a piece of land that we can just sell and get rid of. But every time you step into the house of God, every time you come into the house of God, you have a Father preparing a heavenly place for you. I said you have a Father preparing a heavenly place for you. Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 21 says, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where the moth and the rust destroy and where the thieves break in to steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where the thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Where our treasure is, our hearts will be also. Amen. I want to lay my treasure in heaven. I want to lay my treasures in Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to have kind of a Bible study. Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27, if you have your Bibles. I'm ending shortly, so just bear with me. But while you're turning there, aren't you thankful for the man and the lady of God that has been placed here at Turning Point? Amen. Amen. Turning Point is blessed, and they are the real deal. We ought to be thankful for our leadership. Amen, amen, amen. Is everyone at Acts chapter 27? We find Paul on a ship being transported as a prisoner. The Bible says there were 276 people on that ship. So it's not necessarily a small ship, but it's definitely not a cruise ship with restaurants and slides and pools. I don't know how the plumbing is on that ship, but think about that. And although Paul was a prisoner on this ship, he's still a praying man, amen. God still talked to him. He tries to advise the centurion, and he tells the pilot, and he tells the ship owner that he believes that this trip is going to be with much loss if they continue. Paul, the man of God, pleads with them not to take this journey, or at least not to take it yet. But instead, they listen to the pilot and the ship owner and continue on the journey that they had started. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 27, verse 14 through 20, but as soon as a tempestuous wind, amen, called the northeastern, struck down from the land, and when the ship was caught and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and were driven along, running along the lee of the ship of a small island called Cauda. We managed with difficulty to secure the ship's boats, talking about the lifeboats. And after hoisting it up, they used supports to undergird the ship. Then, fearing that they would run aground on Syrtis, they raised the gear back up, and thus they were driven along again. Since we were violently storm-tossed, they began the next day to jettison the cargo. They began to throw the cargo out. And on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope of being saved was at last abandoned. And I know this seems more like a Bible study, but we'll get through it, I promise. Verse 21 says, but after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me. He stands up and says, you should have listened to me when I warned you. You should have not loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and this loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. See, Paul, a prisoner, had a visitation with the angels of God. They had spoken to him during the storm and told him that everything would be okay. They may lose the ship, but they would not lose their life. And we could spend some time here, but I'm going to keep reading. Verse 27 says, But when the 14th night was come, as they were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. And they sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and it found 15 fathoms. So now they're taking measurements, seeing how close they're getting. Then, fearing lest they should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern. And they wished for day. Anybody ever been there? Just hoping to see some light somewhere. And as the shipmen were about to flee the ship, hear me today, when they had let down the boat into the sea, talking about the lifeboat, it says, under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the ship, out of the foreship. Then Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these men abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat, speaking about the lifeboats, and let her fall off. The shipmen pretended to lower anchors. The shipmen pretended that they were helping. It looked like they were lowering the anchors when everybody else was fighting the storm. And while everybody else is doing what they know they need to do, they pretended like they were back there lowering the anchors, like they did on the other side of the boat. Looked like they were lowering those anchors during the storm. But in reality, they were lowering lifeboats in order to try to save themselves. The Bible says that they were under color. That literally means that they were under the pretext that they were doing something. They were doing another thing. They pretended to do one thing, but in their heart, they were doing something else. Their true color showed up during the storm. I tell us that this is not the time to be lowering lifeboats, but this is a time to lower some anchors. I tell us this is not the time to try to save ourselves, but this is the time to be lowering some anchors. Come on, you don't know what you'll be when you come out of that storm. I know it's easy to come out of it, and I know it's easy to try to get on a lifeboat and save yourself. But God is just calling on somebody that will lower some anchors and stay in the storm. Stay. You don't know what you'll be when you come out. You don't know what God has in store for you. It's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to do it. I tell us, it is not time to lower lifeboats, but this is the time to be lowering anchors. I know the storm of life tries to offer a way out, but Jesus has offered us a way in. I know I could take this about three other ways, but I feel this. I know this world tries to lower lifeboats in the storm, but Jesus offers us an anchor. And I know that this world settles in pride and self. But I want to remind us what happened to lowliness. What happened to meekness. What happened to long-suffering. I tell us, if we want to experience revival, it's going to take meekness. It's going to take lowliness. And it's going to take long-suffering. Will we pretend to lower anchors, but in reality just be lowering lifeboats? So I ask us this question this morning. If we could have the musicians, if we could all stand. I ask this question today. Where is your hope? Where is your hope? Is your hope in the lifeboat? Or is your hope in the anchor? Will we try to save ourselves like we have our whole life? Will we continue to try to hide things from God? Or will we abide in the shadow of the Almighty? Because here's the reality of our life. Every ship has a lifeboat, but every ship also has an anchor. Every ship has a lifeboat, and every ship has an anchor. And when the storm is raging in your life, and when it seems like you haven't seen light at the end of your storm, come on, I know I'm preaching right now. What rope will be found in your hand? Will we pretend just because we have the rope in our hand doesn't mean it's attached to the right thing? Just because we have the rope in our hand doesn't mean it's attached to the right thing. So I ask us this morning, what rope will you be lowering? I know this may not be for everyone, and I may just be preaching to myself, that's fine. But I'm not going to pretend to be something I'm not today. Oh God, I want to be a better saint. I want to be more submitted. I want to be more faithful. And I just don't want to say it. I just don't want to pretend. But I want the Lord to search my heart. I want to grow. I want to be connected to the anchor. And we're going to do what we do every week. We're going to open up this altar. We're going to ask if you're comfortable. Why don't you step out from your seat? Why don't you make your way to the front and ask God if He would search our hearts this morning? Oh God, search my heart, God. In the name of Jesus, I want to be connected to the anchor. Hebrews chapter 6, and I'm ending. Verse 19 says, this hope, this confident assurance we have as an anchor of the soul. It cannot slip. It cannot break down under whatever pressure bears upon it. A safe and steadfast hope that enters within the veil of the heavenly temple, that most holy place, in which the very presence of God dwells. Come on, somebody, with every voice lifted and every hand lifted right now. Jesus is our anchor. Jesus is our hope. He's not only the foundation, but He is the very substance of our hope. Some of us need to cut the ropes holding on to the lifeboats. Some of us need to lower some anchors this morning and let God have control.
My life, I want to be tried by fire.
hope is this, that I may be found in Him. Philippians 3:9 says, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness from the law, but that which is through the faith in Jesus Christ. For what the law could not do, Jesus Christ fulfilled. The law could not change their hearts. The law could not fix their hearts. But Jesus Christ became that perfect sacrifice. And what the law could not change, Jesus Christ stepped in and began to deal with our heart. And because of that, we can come boldly before the throne of God. Because of that, we are now under grace. Aren't we thankful for that grace? And although we are under grace, there will come a day when that eastern sky opens up and there will be a light that shines, and it will show the true nature of everything that is not under the blood. I tell us it is better now than later. I want to be under the blood. I want to be under the blood. I want my nature. If we're going to see greater things in God, it's going to mean greater battles with flesh. And right now, one more time, why don't we find somebody to pray with? You don't know what storm they're going through.